Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're in day 312 of our three-year journey through God's Word, and that brings us to Joshua chapter 13. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your Word and for your faithfulness to use your Word in our lives to show us more of yourself, to show us more of ourselves, to lead us to repentance, to correct us, to strengthen us where we are weak, and to make us more like Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit working in us. Father, be our teacher and our guide. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from the Sihor, which is east of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron, as it is counted as Canaanite. There are five rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, and those of the Avim, in the south, all the land of the Canaanites and the Mira that belongs to the Sidonians, to Aphek, to the boundary of the Amorites, and the land of the Gebelites, and all Lebanon, toward the sunrise from Baal-Gad, below Mount Hermon to Lebo-Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon to Mishrephoth-Maim, even all the Sidonians. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel, only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. With the other half tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them, from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, and the city that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland of Medeba, as far as Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the boundary of the Ammonites and Gilead, and the region of the Geshurites and Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Basha to Salica, all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei. He alone was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. These Moses had struck and driven out. Yet the people of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites, but Geshur and Maacath dwell in the midst of Israel to this day. To the tribe of Levi alone, Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel are their inheritance, as he said to them. And Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the people of Reuben, according to their clans. So their territory was from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and the city that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland by Medeba, with Heshbon, and all its cities that are in the tableland, Dibon and Bamoth-Baal and Beth-Baal-Meon and Jahaz and Kedemoth and Mephath and Kiriathaim and Sibma and Zereth-Shahar on the hill of the valley and Beth-Peor and the slopes of Pisgah and Beth-Jeshimoth. That is all the cities of the tableland and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses defeated with the leaders of Midian, Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, the princes of Sihon who lived in the land. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the one who practiced divination, was killed with the sword by the people of Israel, along with the rest of their slain. And the border of the people of Reuben was the Jordan as a boundary. This was the inheritance of the people of Reuben, according to their clans, with their cities and villages. Moses gave an inheritance also to the tribe of Gad, to the people of Gad according to their client clans. The territory, their territory, was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the Ammonites to Aroer, which is east of Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramoth Mizpah and Betonim, from Mahanaim to the territory of Debir, and in the valley of Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, the king of Heshbon, having the Jordan as a boundary to the lower end of the Sea of Kinnereth, eastward beyond the Jordan. This is the inheritance of the people of Gad, according to their clans, with their cities and villages. And Moses gave an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. It was allotted to the half-tribe of the people of Manasseh according to their clans. Their region extended from Mahanaim through all Bashan, the whole kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities, and half Gilead and Ashtaroth and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. These were allotted to the people of Maker, the son of Manasseh, for the half of the people of Maker, according to their clans. These are the inheritances that Moses distributed in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, as he has said to them. So what we have here in chapter 13 is Joshua has gotten to be old, right? And so when he's gotten to be old, God pulls him aside and says, "You're old." And this lets us know that the campaigns that were fought in chapters 9, 10, and 11, and then the numbers of the kings that were defeated in chapter 12, all of that represents years of warfare. We don't know exactly how long, but it was years and years of warfare. So they're at a point now where it's kind of time to move to the next phase, okay? And so what you have is a number of unconquered areas. They're kind of on the fringes. They're kind of on the outside. So the area of the Philistines, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, Ekron, that's going to take the longest to subdue. It's going to be really until the time of David, King David, some 500 years or more, about 400 years after this, that's going to be subdued. And so that they're going to be there for a while. That's on the southwest on the Mediterranean coast in what's today called the Gaza Strip. If you're familiar with Israel, it's a Palestinian area known as the Gaza Strip. It's along that coast of the Mediterranean to the southwest of Israel. And then there's parts that are to the north, Lebanon being up north of Israel and sort of up to the northeast. So those areas are unconquered. Well, it seemed like in chapter 12 that God had conquered everybody, right? Well, God had given them victory over a good number of kings. I mean, 33 in all, 31 kings on the west side of the Jordan and two major kings on the east side of the Jordan. And so God had given them victory over 33 kings, but there were still undefeated kings, pockets of resistance. Those were there to test Israel, to make sure that they were vigilant, that they learned war, that they would follow after the Lord, even after Joshua's demise, that they would trust the Lord. God says that he will give this to them. In verse 6, he says, "I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you." So what's happening in the shifting of phasing is like everybody's going to be getting their allotment, and kind of each tribe is going to be responsible for conducting the warfare to subdue the remaining Canaanite inhabitants of their particular area. Now, some will be faithful of doing that, and most will not be super faithful at doing that. And so the other thing that happens in this chapter is that the half-tribe of Manasseh and the Reubenites and the Gadites, they get their allotment on the east side of the Jordan River, where the kings of Og, king of Bashan, was there, and so the two kings that were conquered on the east side of the Jordan, they divide up their inheritance among these two and a half tribes, and you can see the area that's being given to them. So what do we learn from this? Well, what we learn from this is that the task of spiritual warfare is never finished, right? I think that's one of the things we're supposed to learn. As long as we're this side of paradise, this side of glory, the task of pursuing the enemies that plague us, the world, the flesh, the devil, it's never settled. When you get great victories in life, it is not a time for complacency. It is a time for vigilance and for perseverance. I don't know about you, but I've had many times in my life when there's been great victory in my life and times when I just have felt like God has really been working, and I get thankful and I rejoice, and then I get kind of lazy. You know, I neglect to pray as earnestly. I neglect to really be as engaged in seeking the Lord and seeking His will and pursuing Him earnestly, because it feels like, okay, we got this. This is good. But there's never a time when spiritual warfare in this life is over. Some of you, I know, watching this are in your 80s, right? Or your 70s, and you might think, well, I'm coming toward the end of this time in this world. But as long as you're drawing breath, there is still spiritual warfare to be fought in this life. And all of us, until Jesus comes again and brings us home, the church is going to remain the church militant, called to fight against the enemies of the kingdom of God. Now, this is not a political war. It's not a geopolitical war like the nation of Israel was called to fight. It is a spiritual warfare to be fought with prayer and fasting and preaching and missions and evangelism and church planting and discipleship and self-discipline and the Spirit subduing our flesh. It is to be engaged in a spiritual warfare, right? In our own lives, against the world, the flesh, and the devil, against the lies that are prevalent in our culture through the proclamation of the gospel, the planting of churches, the advancement of evangelism and discipleship, and to the ends of the earth as we push back the darkness of Satan's reign over the kingdoms of the earth by taking the gospel to more and more people. So that's one lesson. Spiritual warfare is never finished. And the second one is that we need to be content with and responsible for what God has placed into our hands. We're going to continue to explore this theme, as there are going to be several chapters of the allotment of the land to different tribes. But I think the main purpose here is God gives you what you have in life. Sometimes you might think you wish you had more, right? You might grumble that you don't have as much as somebody else, right? Or sometimes you can neglect what God has given you because you spend your time dreaming about what you don't have instead of taking responsibility for what you do have. And so I think the second major lesson here is a stewardship one. That is to be content with, but to take responsibility for that which God has placed into our hands, knowing that the Lord is Lord of it all. You see, God allotted all of these places. People of Levi, they didn't have a land inheritance. They had the offerings. They had the sacrifices. They had the worship of God. And some tribes got big allotments. Some tribes got small. We'll take a look at maps in coming days as we continue to look at these chapters. But let's just remember those two lessons. Spiritual warfare is never finished in this life. And second, let's be content with and faithful in those things that God has placed in our care. Let's pray. Father, thank you that King Jesus is Lord of all. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He reigns over heaven and earth, and that he is subduing to himself a kingdom that reaches to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. But we are not the king. We are stewards who are entrusted with a small allotment within your vast kingdom, a term of responsibility, a household, a family, a ministry, a calling that you've given us. Help us to persevere in battle until the end, and help us to be content with and faithful in the things that you entrust to our care. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to roll right into Joshua chapter 14, which is going to be more about the allotment of the tribal inheritances. So have a blessed day in the Lord, and I hope to see you back here tomorrow.